Thai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This morning, we're catching up with someone who has taken South African creativity, satire, I think musical genius, to the world, and that is The Kiffness. He's currently touring Europe, playing to sold-out crowds and producing those signature collaborations and remixes that somehow, I don't know, they make us laugh and dance, perhaps at the same time. And for Cape Town, he's coming there, a big live concert that's happening at Kirstenbosch in December. Arguably one of the most beautiful venues on the planet. There has been some noise online from groups that are haters. We're not going to get lost in the negativity this morning. Maybe we'll touch on it, but our focus is on the music, the tour, and the energy that he is bringing when he comes back to South Africa. The Kiffness, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you? But where are you?
I'm in Antwerp. In Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 1 hour behind you. It's 7:30. It's still dark. It's very cold.
Yes.
But I'm feeling alive, awake, enthusiastic, and happy to talk to you. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we're very honored because obviously being on a schedule that, I don't know, finishes late every night. There's more than just a 1 hour time zone change. There's a lifestyle one. So what's the energy been like on your tours in Europe? Are overseas audiences very different to South African audiences?
Look, I've never actually played this current show that I'm doing overseas to a South African audience. It's kind of niche, because I'm taking videos from the internet and displaying them on a big screen behind me and kind of performing my YouTube videos live.
Oh, yeah.
And we had no idea how it was going to turn out. If, you know, my manager booked this entire tour, you know, he gave me 3 months to figure out how to perform this live. And with 1 month to go, I still had no idea what I was doing. And that's when I called my VJ, Sean, mm-hmm. who kind of helped me figure out this whole thing. And it works. I don't know why or how, but, you know, people seem to love it overseas. I would have expected more South African expats to come to the show, but, you know, it's mostly Europeans. And, you know, we did a big North America tour. And again, it was, you know, mostly American audiences that came to that. And obviously, we have a few South Africans that would come. We've got a lot of expats, you know, scattered all around the world. And it's always lovely to see South Africans in the audience. And I always try and play some South African music for them. I've got a song called Hardy Dar, which remixes, you know, Hardy Dar noises.
And oh, God.
They always seem to love that, even though when you're living in South Africa, you can't stand them.
Absolutely.
But I think when you've been living in America or Belgium for many years, it's kind of nostalgic. So, yeah, it's always an amazing, you know, turnout. It's always a very diverse audience. You know, whenever I look out into the crowd, there are kids that are probably attending their first concert ever, and I also see people that might be attending their last concert ever. So
it's basically you're like the one of our Jewish organizations, cradle to grave.
That's it.
I wouldn't suggest you market it that way, but it's just a thought. So how do you know, most of us became familiar with you through one of your viral, just weird stuff where you take, I don't know, sounds of cats or choirs that we played earlier, and you turn this into, you know, you turn it into something incredible. How do you get your inspiration? How many things come across your desk or your digital environment before you say, hold on, that could work with something?
Look, I get sent, you know, thousands of videos every day in my inboxes from people all around the world. Generally, if I get sent the same video over 200 times, that's when I know, okay, people want this one in particular. And yeah, it's just a process of, you know, sifting through all these videos that I get sent. So my audience kind of does half the work for me. And then it's just a matter of, you know, picking the ones that I think, you know, could work or the ones that interest me. Obviously, it's very easy when you come across a video like the Shearer Choir that you played earlier. It's the music's already made. I just kind of have to add a beat and a bass line, and then it kind of works. But when it's a cat sample where there's no inherent melody or yes. rhythm, it's unknown territory. And I kind of like that, because when you take a sample like that and start playing with it, you have no idea how it's actually going to turn out until you start creating. And I like that space where you don't actually know where it's going to go, and you kind of just, you know, rely on your intuition and just see how it works out. So I like that creative space where I can, you know, surprise myself, because if I can surprise myself, then I feel like I can also surprise the audience. The same energy that I experience in the creative space, I think, is the same energy that the audience experiences. So when I made my first cat song, and you know, it actually turned out all right. I really did surprise myself. I was like, this is way better than I thought
it could ever be. Right.
And I think the audience felt the same thing. So,
but I think so, because I think there's an element of surprise and delight as well that we feel. I mean, that Donald Trump, they're eating the dogs. There's no reason that should work. It makes no sense, but yet somehow it does. One of our listeners is saying, I'd love to know how you got to that Jewish song that you played, and is it popular across all of your fans or only, you know, within sort of the Jewish area?
Look, if you go to the YouTube comments, I think they're mostly positive. If not all of the comments are positive. You know, it's very heartening to see, as a Christian myself, seeing people from other faiths saying, I'm not Jewish, but this song really made me feel closer to God.
That's incredible.
I'm not even religious, you know. Yes. And seeing those comments just really affirm that I'm doing the right thing through my music, using music as a platform to show, you know what, Jewish people are amazing people. Look at their culture, look at their music. And you know, I'm a Christian. You don't have to be from the same faith to appreciate
each other and respect.
It's a wonderful tool, music. I think it does really bring people from all walks of life together.
Let's talk about Kirstenbosch, because it's got to be such a magical place to play. What can people expect from this December concert? Is it your South African stuff, or are you bringing this show that you've just that you're currently touring? Are you bringing that one, or is it another show?
So I think it pretty much will be the current show that I'm performing, you know, taking these videos from the internet, remixing them live on stage. I think it's never really been done live by any other artist. I think it's almost like a new medium. Mm. And it's very exciting. And, you know, a lot of people come to the shows not knowing what to expect, and they get pleasantly surprised. But I think I will take, you know, a lot more of my South African music. You know, I've got a song called Prachtig Macy and Mevrou, which are like sort of my attempts at Afrikaans songs, but people seem to like them. You know, I might chuck those in. I might chuck in, you know, the Shearer Choir song. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be a show that, you know, people from all walks of life can appreciate.
So how are the sales for that show going?
So far, great. I mean, it's probably my most talked about show ever. I mean, I've played 60 cities across the world this year, and, you know, most of them have sold out. But I don't think as many people have talked about my Kirstenbosch show than any other show. So it's going great. People are talking about it. Tickets are, I think, 50% sold out already. And today is exactly 1 month until the show. So It would be absolutely amazing if the show sells out.
It really would be amazing. And many of our listeners obviously listening in from Cape Town who are there anyway, as well as our Joburg audience, our Joburg listeners who are traveling down to Cape Town. It's got to be the most fantastic way to spend some time in Kirstenbosch at a concert like this, supporting the Kiffness. I think it would be a real, real treat for either go with friends, go with your whole family. I think it would be, it really would be incredible. I just want to, I don't, as I said, want to dwell on this at all. There has been some, as you said, people have been speaking a lot about it, not all of it in a positive way. That said, it certainly gives you publicity, which is good. What I want to ask you is how you personally navigate the negativity that you see online, because you are somebody who is deeply religious, you involved in music because you see the joy it brings, you're speaking about how it showcases humanity and each other in a positive way. How do you keep that negativity outside of your soul?
Look, it's a good question, and as you say, I'm a proud Christian. I'm very outspoken about my views. I have certain ideas which I think would benefit all of us in South Africa, and I share them freely, and I'm open to discussing them in good faith with other people. But there are some bad faith actors out there who just, you know, don't see my heart. They think I'm an evil person, and, you know, they think I'm spewing propaganda and, you know, spreading racist ideas or whatever it is. I don't know. And people are entitled to feel that way about me. I'm not going to stop them. What they aren't entitled to is to try and get my show, you know, cancelled, or, you know, to, people can boycott it if they want to. They don't have to buy tickets. You know, it's their choice. I'm not going to stop people from buying tickets, but they don't have a right to try and get the show stopped. And so when that kind of stuff happens, I try and use humor where I can. I feel like humor is a kind of kindness. Or I just ignore it. I think that's pretty much my only option. You can either ignore it, you can respond in kindness or in humor. Other than that, I wish them well, and, you know, I hope that they buy tickets and they just come to the show and they
well,
they,
I think,
see
you've
that I'm
got
not this evil person that they make up in their heads.
Well, as vocal as that group is, you have a fan base that is incredibly supportive. I would imagine that is the counterbalance to this type of is when you see the support that you do receive.
No, definitely. I think, you know, I've been cancelled in inverted commas, you know, probably 50 times in my life, and I'm still around. So I think what people need to realize is that the hate that you see online is often a very small but very loud vocal minority. It's not real life, because my encounter with everyday South Africans is very different to what I see online. And I think people need to realize that, you know, the world on X and Facebook can be quite toxic, but it's not a reflection of everyday people. You know, I've even met a lot of my haters in person, and they're completely different in person.
and they're saying to their family, "I met the Kiffness. He's actually not a bad guy, you know."
And I feel people kind of experience this road rage kind of mentality when they're behind a screen. They feel like they can say the most obscene things, but when you actually are face to face with a person, or even having a conversation with them over phone or Zoom, I think there's a certain humanity there that is missing sometimes when you're sharing ideas, you know, with letters, and you can't actually see the person or feel their humanity. So that's the kind of downside, I think, to X. I think it's a wonderful place where you can, you know, see the truth and see what's actually going on in the world, without this kind of medium of the media that often, you know, skew what's actually happening. But there's also this negativity, and you kind of have to sift through that and kind of take the good with the bad. But I wish them well.
100%.
That's all I can say.
What can people? I just want to come back to the Kirsten Bosch concert, because that is I think something really worth celebrating and looking forward to. What can concert goers and fans expect from this concert in terms of, I don't mean in terms of the actual show, but what's the environment, what's the energy, what will they arrive feeling and what will they leave feeling?
Look, I've played at many venues around the world. I mentioned that I've played 60 cities, you know, across North America, Europe, Australia, all over the place this year. I've never played a more beautiful venue in the world than Kirsten Bosch. The last time I played there, I think, was 2018. I was performing with Good Luck. And it's just, you can't describe the energy of that place. It is, it almost feels like the Garden of Eden.
It really does have
this like spiritual energy to it. I just consider it a great privilege to be able to perform there and to be invited. And yeah, it's a very special place. It's the last show of the year for me. I'm not going to be performing much next year. I'm taking a well-deserved break. And so, yeah, I'm going to go out with a bang.
Absolutely.
And I think people can expect, obviously, you know, my crazy cat and dog remixes and, you know, my silly stuff. They can also expect some deeply spiritual music. You know, I'm very outspoken about my faith. I share that through my music. The song with the Shira Choir, Psalm 127, holds a very special place in my heart. It's a very special psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand, watch in vain. Which is, you know, it's powerful words. I think really? It's more apt now, today, than it ever has been. Because we're seeing societies crumble, and people are forgetting that the foundations of civil society in many democracies are built on Judeo-Christian values. And if you abandon those, societies do crumble. And so, you know, I really do hold scripture deep, you know, in my heart, and I try and use music as a medium to show people that, you know, we need to stand by, you know, principled values. It's a great show. I think many people will enjoy it.
I don't doubt that for one second. Where can people book? Where do they get tickets?
They can either go to my website, thekiffmas.com, and there'll be a little button there that says Cape Town. You can just click on that, or you can go to Web Tickets and just search for it there.
So there are so many. Carry on.
Yeah, or if you're on X and you follow me there, it's my pinned tweet. You can check that out, and the link's there.
So many messages of support. Boker Tov, kudos to the Kiffness. Love his music and his soul. Can we make him an honorary member of our tribe? Well, there you go. That was one. And
I already feel honored because, you know, when I was, you know, making the Shira Choir song, I was speaking quite closely to a friend of mine, Khoni G.
Yes, of course. Khoni, we play
also,
his music
as well.
He's
a great musician.
Yes.
And his brother-in-law actually zoomed me just on the day that my son was being born.
Wow.
I'm actually getting goosebumps now thinking about this.
Yeah.
And he gave a blessing in one of these, I can't remember the name of it, was a Shabbat or something.
Yes.
Where he blessed my son before he was born.
That's incredible.
It was an incredible moment. It was...
In fact,
the song that I put out was...
So I remember it because it was the first time we spoke because I saw this video and I wanted to get hold of you. And we were discussing an interview whether we could arrange it or not. And it was all dependent on when your son was being born because it was exactly at that time and then over that weekend. So I do recall that time very, very well. We do need to end it there. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that Khani, I think it's his sister-in-law or his wife. I might be messing this up, but she makes clothing and,
sister.
Yarmulkes.
Yes, it's his sister.
It's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
His sister made me like custom Kifnis yarmulkes, which I forgot. So I already feel like I've become like an honorary.
So you're ready for bar mitzvahs and
I'm ready.
Exactly.
I've played many bar mitzvahs, and every time, you know, I've actually made a post about this.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single Jewish event that I've played, I feel very welcomed, and you know, it's just the most incredibly hospitable people ever. Wow. You know, whether it's a wedding or a bar mitzvah, the event is just always super great. And
awesome,
yeah,
to hear.
I've got nothing but love for the Jewish people.
And according to our listeners, nothing but love coming back to you. The Kifnis, thank you as always. Go and book for his Kirsten Bosch show. It is taking place on the 28th of December. It will be spectacular. But if you are going to be in Cape Town, it is well worth doing.